Welcome to the Sensory Project Show with Rachel and Jessica. We're here to share all things sensory, occupational therapy, parenting, self-care, and overall health and wellness from a therapist's perspective, providing raw, honest, fun ideas and strategies for parents and families to implement into daily life. Thank you so much for joining us.
Okay, just a quick reminder before we get started. We've teamed up with Advanced Brain Technologies to bring you guys a special offer on any of their products, including the listening program. Use our code, THESENSORYPROJECT, for a discount on any of their programs. Just head over to our website, thesensoryproject.com/pages/podcast to get started today. Rachel and I are both certified providers and can help you and your family experience the amazing benefits that come from ABT's programs.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Sensory Project Show.
So today we are going to talk about messy play. But first, we need to remind you of something super important.
We reached a goal that we had set for ourselves and we launched our membership site.
Woohoo!
So exciting.
I couldn't help but.
I know, I love it.
I had to do it.
And it will... Like, the content will launch August 1st, but we finished everything up, and we are allowing founding members to join for $14.99 per month.
A lifetime 50% discount, you guys.
Yes.
It's huge.
Big time. And we want you guys to be founding members so you can help us build this program and build this site into something magical.
Yeah, and build it into what you want so that you get all the things you need to help your family and your child be happy and successful.
And we've actually had a lot of therapists join us as well.
Which is kind of cool.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
So therapists, if you're needing some ideas, if you want to brainstorm some new strategies, we're doing our
15-minute training sessions.
Yep. And so that's going to be open for parents, for therapists, whoever is in our membership site.
Yeah. So here's how you join. You need to go to thesensoryprojectclub.com and you need to sign up as a founding member, and you need to use the code FREEJULY
in all caps
to get that lifetime discount.
Yep. And that will be available. That discount will be available until July 31st.
So get it done.
Woo! We're so excited. All right. Let's jump into messy play all day.
Okay. So why is messy play important?
So many reasons. There is so many reasons why messy play is an important, I don't want to say milestone, but I want to say milestone.
Yeah.
For kiddos.
It's just an important activity for them to do on a regular basis.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And if you haven't listened to our episode about tactile input, you need to go listen to that now. It's episode 33 called The Power of Touch, because one of the biggest reasons messy play is important is it provides tactile input.
Mm-hmm.
And tactile input is a huge piece of our sensory system.
Well, think about your skin. Your skin is your largest organ. It's everywhere.
And think of all the different things that you touch every day. Think of everything you're touching right now.
My legs are touching this therapy ball.
Yep. My legs are touching the chair. One of my feet is on this like plastic mat thingy. Mm-hmm. What is it called?
I don't know.
Oh, it's this plastic mat thingy.
It's supposed to save the carpet from the chair.
Yeah. So I'm getting like cushiony chair input, plasticky hard stuff input. Words are hard. We're touching our clothes.
Yes.
Our hair is like on our shoulders, like all the different things that we're touching right now.
So if you have a kiddo, or if you are under responsive to tactile input, you are seeking things to touch. You want to touch everything. You're just like a bullet in a china shop. You're just everything, you want it on your body because you're not processing enough of this input and you want more in order to feel normal.
And then the opposite of that is over responsive, and that is when your body is processing too much tactile input, and so you don't want to touch anything. Things might hurt more than they should. You don't want to get messy. You don't want anyone to touch you. It's kind of, it causes a lot of anxiety.
It does.
For our kids. So a lot of our kids who have anxiety, they might be over-responsive to tactile input.
Absolutely.
So messy play is good to help that tactile system process and modulate different tactile inputs better to provide that adaptive response that we want to be able to thrive.
And get through our day successfully.
Yeah.
Because that's our goal.
Yes. The second reason messy play is super, super important is it helps to develop hand strength and helps to develop all those fine motor skills that we need for all the things we do every day.
Yeah, you have a lot of muscles in your hands, a lot of tiny little muscles that need to develop, and they need to be strong enough to complete little tasks like tying our shoes or buttoning our pants or eating or wiping after going to the bathroom.
You're welcome.
If those muscles aren't developed, it's going to make it really tricky for our kiddos.
So all these messy play activities, you're using your hands to hold small objects or to find objects within, you know, some sort of tactile medium. And so that's going to really work on those fine motor skills.
Definitely.
And then the third reason that messy play is so important is
tactile discrimination and somatosensory processing.
Wait, what is somatosensory again?
Don't worry. We did an episode on this. So if you're curious, if you missed that episode, if you want to know more about somatosensory and what it is,
and how to pronounce it correctly,
go listen to episode 27, the somatosensory system.
Okay, okay, good. Now that you've done that. So we need to be able to identify and differentiate all different types of tactile inputs. So hot versus cold, soft versus hard, you know, being able to identify items just by touching them and understanding the properties of the object.
So if you reach into your pocket, are you able to pull out a quarter instead of a penny? Without looking in your pocket and seeing what it is or pulling everything out.
Yeah, and I mean, there's a huge safety concern here too, right? So for our kiddos who are under responsive, they might walk out into the street barefoot in the middle of summer and that asphalt's 100 plus degrees and they're gonna burn their feet and they're not gonna know because their body's not processing that tactile input correctly.
Yes.
So messy play is huge for that.
It is.
To help with
makes
the body.
A big difference.
Yeah.
So, what happens if your child doesn't want to touch messy items, or if they don't want to touch food, or if they are touching too much and they're seeking that tactile input? What do you do?
Well, first, I think if your child doesn't want to get messy, then you just need to introduce that messy play every day or every other day. Basically as often as possible to get them comfortable with it.
And make sure that you validate their feelings and you tell them, yeah, I agree, this stuff is kind of icky. I can see that it makes you uncomfortable, but I think it would be fun if we tried it and you might learn to love it if you practice.
Yeah, so then there's that other piece too of doing it with them.
Oh, yes.
Right? Creating an experience. We did an episode on that.
Yes, we did.
And doing the activities with them is just going to help them be more motivated and more willing to try it.
And they have a really good time watching you get silly and act like a child. And, you know, maybe you have kind of a weird reaction to the tactile input. They can laugh and you guys can make it super fun together.
Yeah, definitely. And again, I think just making it so it's not scary.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the more you do it, the more familiar it is, the more comfortable your child will be with it. And not removing the messy play completely if your child has an adverse reaction.
So let's talk about what an adverse reaction might look like real quick. Gagging, crying,
running away,
eloping, yep, refusing, shutting down, throwing a fit.
Not talking at all, just like completely shutting down, yeah.
Becoming anxious or nervous, talking a lot. Those are all adverse reactions when we say that term.
Yes, and so if your child has an adverse reaction, that's okay. Again, like Rachel said, just validate their feelings, keep going, and do it again.
Yep.
Okay, what about our kiddos who are touching everything? I mean, they're going to love messy play.
They are. They're going to get shaving cream or pudding or whatever it is you're doing all over their face,
so,
their body.
You know, maybe do that kind of stuff outside.
Yeah.
Or in the bathtub where it's easy to clean up.
And I would use a mirror with these kiddos so they can see that they have input all over their body and they can connect that visual system with their tactile system.
Yeah, and videos and pictures are really good here too so that they can watch it later. Okay, and so one more quick thing for those kids who are touching everything, who love the messy play. Messy play can actually be calming for them.
Absolutely. And when we say messy play, keep in mind, like, shaving cream, we're using all these examples, but it can just be a sensory bin, like a dry tactile medium like rice or beans. But those kiddos who love it, they put their hands in there, their feet in there. It can be really organizing for their system.
It can definitely help them feel good and calm and happy.
Yes.
Okay, so what about having your kiddo who loves the messy play do it with their eyes closed?
Yes. Love that.
They are going to get a whole new experience, and because the messy play doesn't cause them any anxiety, they're probably going to think it's hilarious to try to close their eyes to do the activity.
Yeah, and they're working on that somatosensory processing again and recognizing where their body is in space, so it's totally improving body awareness while addressing their tactile system.
Yeah, and giving them that input that they want.
You guys, everything is connected.
That's
Everything
true.
Is connected.
So true. It really is.
Talk about modifications for the kiddos who don't like messy play.
Gloves is always like my first idea here, is right to give them clear plastic gloves that they can use. They're not going to get their hands messy, but they're still going to be able to feel that tactile input a little bit.
Absolutely.
And they're going to, if the gloves are clear, it's going to look like it's on their hands, even though it's not. So that will be helpful too.
Yep. And then you can also have them touch once and then they can be done and go wash their hands. And then the next time they can touch it twice and then go wash their hands. And then the next time they touch it three times. Or they can use like a wooden spoon to move the items in the sensory bin or move the draw in the shaving cream so they have like a barrier, but they're still interacting and playing.
And I think another piece here too is cleanup. When it's time to clean up the sensory bin or it's time to clean up the shaving cream or, you know, the messy food that you've been using, having them help with cleanup is gonna really help them to be more comfortable with it as well.
And maybe if you set the expectation of, well, mom or dad, we're gonna play with this sensory bin, but you know, you're going to hang out here with us and we're going to play together, but the rule is that you need to help us clean up when we're done. And so that way, they're still getting that interaction with the item. They're
just cleaning up. And with you. And as well as with you, so you create that experience too.
Absolutely.
Here's the best part of the episode.
The moment you've all been waiting for.
The reason why you're all here. Isn't that what we said before?
Yeah.
Okay, so our five favorite messy play mediums and activity ideas.
That took you a long time.
Words are hard. You know what we're talking about.
Yes. So our favorite ideas. Number one, food.
Definitely. This is the big one, and this is the one that you can start early.
Like a couple of months old.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's the thing, like with feeding an infant, you know, you don't want to have an infant start eating solids until they can maintain head control, right?
Yes.
But that's going to be at a couple of months. So yeah, couple months old, let's give them some, you know, whipped cream or some applesauce or...
And they don't even have to eat it.
No, just
they can
play
just
with it.
Set them in this little swimming pool with this fun medium. for them to play in.
Yeah, absolutely.
And explore.
Yeah, messy food play is the best. And, you know, if your kiddo doesn't like the messy food play, we already said, do it all the time.
Yep. So here's a funny fact for you. Kids who are picky, they have sensitive tactile receptors in their mouth, they will be more likely to try a food, eat a new, different, weird food as soon as they are comfortable with it on their hands and their body. See, you have those tactile receptors on your skin. So if there's a food that they don't like, take it back a couple of steps and play with it.
Yeah, don't even have the expectation of eating it. So you're not doing this at mealtime. You're doing this during playtime.
Correct.
And they can play with this food item and just get comfortable with it before you introduce it at the mealtime.
Yeah, can they make a fort out of the food? Can they draw
pictures? A fort out of the food?
A fort. I'm thinking like chicken or like something stable. You know?
A chicken fort?
A chicken fort. I don't know.
Oh my gosh. Like out of the chicken legs?
You know, chicken, whatever. I don't know.
I love it.
I'm using my creative
food. I need to see a video of this.
Okay, I will make a chicken fort. Maybe that can be our Therapy Thursday video.
Now all I think about is chicken and waffles.
Oh, yeah. You've seen those fancy restaurants where the chicken is like...
I hate it.
I haven't had it
before. I don't like it at all.
Yeah. But do you see how we're even talking about it and we're visualizing it and we're laughing about it? We're making it fun for these kiddos.
Yeah, definitely. Do it.
Chicken fort.
I want to see your chicken fort videos. Who can come up with the best one?
Oh, man.
Okay, let's move on.
Okay,
so number two. Shaving cream.
Of course.
And this is a big one if you're a therapist or if you're a parent and your kiddo's in therapy. You've probably, you know, experienced some shaving cream. And if not, it's time.
It is.
It is time. I don't like shaving cream.
No.
I'm not a big fan, but...
But you do it.
I'll do it. And the kid... Because the kids need it, right?
Yes. Like,
shaving cream is such a good tactile medium for so many things. You can work on drawing and handwriting with shaving cream.
You could hide toys and treasures in it.
I really like doing coin banks.
Yes.
With shaving cream. So hiding the coins in the shaving cream. The kids have to get the coins out, put them in the coin bank.
Yep.
That's one of my faves.
Another great thing is using it in the bathtub.
Ooh, this is a good way to introduce it if your kiddo is having a hard time with it.
Yep, because they can just wash their body when they're done, and it's easy cleanup. They even have like colored shaving cream, or you can put colors in it.
Yes.
And you can put it all over the wall. You can, you know, up your legs, your arms, just get it all over.
All over.
Put it in your hair.
And, you know, here's the thing. There's a lot of different kinds of shaving cream out there. So you can also experiment with getting different scents and see what your kiddo likes. If your kiddo is sensitive to certain, like if their skin is sensitive to certain chemicals, then find, you know, a more all-natural shaving cream. They're out there. You can find them for sure.
Yes.
And then mix other ingredients in the shaving cream to see what happens.
Yeah.
Do a science experiment and see what you can create with the shaving cream and...
Baking soda.
Cornstarch.
Baking powder. All like the same thing.
I mean, they're
salt,
kind of.
Sugar. Just go in your pantry. Beans, rice.
Whatever you want, yeah.
Get creative. Let your kid pick out the shaving cream and then they pick out something random to put in there.
It'd be great.
All right. Number three.
Slime.
Oh, yeah.
This kind of goes along with the shaving cream, right? If you're a therapist or if your kid's in therapy, probably done something with slime.
But here's why slime is so great. For our older kiddos, you can have them follow a recipe to make the slime. So they have to gather all of the ingredients. They have to plan. They have to sequence.
They have to measure.
Yep, they have to clean up. And that works on just a plethora of other skills as well.
And then slime is just a really cool tactile medium because it feels kind of sticky, but if you make it the right way or you make the right kind.
There are a lot of different recipes out there, and you can find some that aren't really sticky. It's more of like a manipulative, and having that manipulative to play with and feel and touch is really good for our brains.
Yeah, so some different things you can do of course, get some small items and hide it in the slime. Find the items with your eyes closed.
Mm-hmm. Stick a straw in the slime and blow bubbles.
Yes, this is one of my favorites.
We had this on our Instagram a little while ago. Jessica, Logan, your son, was blowing giant bubbles.
He spent at least 30 minutes.
Oh, I spent 30 minutes.
Just playing with the slime, blowing bubbles, making it move around in crazy ways.
And the nice thing about blowing bubbles is it provides that proprioceptive input, which is very calming and grounding for our kiddos.
And this can be a good one for the kiddos who don't want to touch the slime. They don't actually have to touch it to blow the bubbles, but it gets them comfortable with the slime.
Mm-hmm.
And then...
Oh, I love cutting slime.
Oh, yes, that's a good one. Absolutely.
So rolling it into a snake and then using scissors to cut it and snip it, it's a really satisfying thing to do.
It is. It has that weird feeling when you cut it. Like, it is very satisfying, for sure.
And you can work on pre-cutting skills, bilateral integration, a bunch of different things.
Oh, there's just so many things you can do with slime.
Did you think of the one?
So add some essential oils in there.
Yes.
To create an olfactory experience. And maybe you make a couple of different batches of slime and you put different scents in them and you play a game with it with your kiddo and see which scents they like and which ones they don't like.
And then see how it affects their mood and their affect and their energy level.
And use the zones of regulation and say, did this scent make your energy go up or down or stay the same and put you in the red zone or the yellow zone or the green zone or the blue zone?
There are so many ways that you can use it. All right, number 4.
Orbeez.
If you don't know what Orbeez are, they're these amazing little water beads.
Oh, they're so fun.
And they originally started, I think, as plant things.
Yeah,
plant
like beads. Water. Yeah. Like to water the plants, right? Yeah. And now they've become a tactile, messy play activity for OT.
Yes.
So these ones are fun. They can come in a lot of different colors. This is a good one, too, for like following instructions to make the Orbeez. So your older kiddos can make them and follow those instructions. But then just having a bin of them and hiding things in there. And this is a good one for that tactile discrimination to reach into those Orbeez and feel the differences between... maybe some beads or some coins to be able to find those within the Orbeez.
Another fun thing you can do is grab a spoon or a fork and practice your feeding skills. So they have to scoop. Maybe you give them different sorting containers so they have and they match the colors of the Orbeez, so they have to scoop with their spoon one at a time to put into the container that matches with the color.
Yes, that's a really good one. This can kind of be fun in, like, the summertime and put the Orbeez in, like, a little kiddie pool.
Or at a water table.
Or at the water table or in the bathtub.
Mm-hmm. And then have them put their feet in it, their body, just all over.
Yeah. And just like the slime, you can add some essential oils to make the Orbeez scented.
Yep. And then keep in mind that they last the longest if you refrigerate them. So if you're done, you can have your kiddo scoop them into a big bag or containers and put them back in the refrigerator.
Now, we did have someone experiment with them and see what happened when they dried up.
Oh, yes.
And that was really interesting. So try that. Have like a small container that you just let them dry up and see what happens.
And I've actually experimented with them in the freezer.
Ooh.
And it's weird.
Okay.
It's weird. So try that out, too.
Try that. Tag us when you do that in your videos.
Yeah. Sharing is caring.
Okay. Number 5.
Beans, rice, noodles.
So any sort of dry tactile medium.
Yes. So this is... Oh.
No, go ahead.
So this is another one that can help increase that comfort and willingness to try new foods.
Yeah, because you're not, I mean, these items, the beans, the rice, and the noodles, they're not cooked.
Correct.
But your kiddo's still going to hopefully recognize that it's food.
It's food.
Right? And you can talk about that, what happens with it when it gets cooked. But these aren't cooked. These are for play.
Yep. You can string them if they're noodles, make a necklace out of them. You can hide treasures in there as part of an obstacle course.
I really like... dyeing the rice. So yes. You have like the rainbow rice.
I love that.
And then that's another one to add some essential oils too. So there's different scents with the different colors of rice. These are good for developing those fine motor and pincer skills, mm-hmm. those dexterity skills and bilateral integration skills for all these small objects.
And it's also fun to incorporate counting. And
oh yeah, this is really good.
Making letters and making shapes out of them on a tray. Maybe you have letters and numbers printed out so they have to grab the treasures inside or just the tactile medium and put them on top of the letters or numbers, their name.
Yeah.
All the things.
Those ones are really good for sure. Okay.
Great.
That was it.
Yeah. Messy play all day.
I love it.
I don't know why I have to say that.
That's going
to
be the title of the episode. Messy play all day.
Okay, great. There we go.
Okay, really, really quick, you guys. We need to remind you that our multi-sensory processing challenge course is up for sale.
Is.
And it's also on sale right now for $9.99.
Yep, so you get 30 videos, you get modifications on how to use all of the multisensory processing activities, you get visuals.
Yep, and so you get all of these things to keep forever for you and your kiddo to use to help improve all of that brain processing, all the hand-eye coordination,
yep,
all the auditory processing.
So many things.
All the things. So you can go to the link in our bio,
yep,
on our Instagram page to check that out and get that.
And we'll also put it in our show notes too, so you can check it out there.
Yes, yes, yes. So,
and if you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out.
And thanks for being here.
Thanks for being here. 1 year, you guys. We've been doing this for a year. It's been so much fun.
This is great.
All right. Okay. Have an awesome week.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
We are so excited to work together and to help create confident kids all over the world and work towards a happier, healthier life. This is general information related to occupational therapy, pediatrics, sensory integration, and overall health and wellness. We do not know you or your child, therefore, we do not know any specific needs, therefore, you should always refer back to your pediatrician and occupational therapist.